Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right. So at this time, we're going to get our hearts and our rooms and our elements ready to take communion. We're going to prepare by comparing and contrasting two accounts in the Gospels of washing. But before we get to that, I just want to take a moment and recognize that I'm coming to you on the same screen that you probably watch Netflix or have done a lot of scrolling this week or perhaps have done a lot of work. And it's easy to expect to be entertained or to sit back and observe in this moment or to just try to get through it. But Good Friday is not at all about trying to get through something. It's about encountering God and remembering the work that Jesus has done for you on the cross. And so I don't want us to skip over this moment. I'm going to be as brief as possible, but this is upon you to encounter and connect with Jesus. He's looking to connect with you. So engage your heart, quiet your space. Let's go after him in this moment. Let's compare and contrast these two stories. The first one comes to us from Matthew chapter 27. And Pilate is with the crowd. He's offered them to release one prisoner, either Jesus or Barabbas, this murderer, and the crowd chooses Barabbas. And so Pilate, when he saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Pilate is in a tough place in this moment. His back is against the wall. He's between a rock and a hard place. And Pilate does what comes most natural to all of us. Just like our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, who shifted blame, Pilate also shifts blame. He's in a place that we've all been in, where he's afraid, and he wants to get out of a situation, and he does not want to take responsibility. So he washes his hands. He publicly dips his hands into water and says, "This is not my responsibility. I'm innocent of this matter." This is something that we all want to have. We want to be innocent. We want to be clean. We don't want to take responsibility for the things that are happening around us in our world or in our lives. We always want it to be somebody else's fault. It's very easy to blame other people and to think of ourselves as the one that's innocent. There's something in business books and in help books that is called the fundamental attribution error, where we attribute to ourselves when our own shortcomings, we attribute them to our circumstances, but we attribute other shortcomings to their character. What's incredible is that Pilate, in this moment, he declares himself clean. He declares himself innocent. This isn't my responsibility. And he does it sitting right next to the one and only one who is innocent, Jesus Christ. When Jesus walks into our lives, it becomes blatantly obvious that we can't do the self-cleaning method anymore. We can't just pass the blame and pass the buck. We've got to look square into the face of what we've done. And it's time to take responsibility for our actions and the things that have happened around us, our choices and our subsequent sin. The other thing that pops off the pages of this passage is that when Pilate refuses to take responsibility, his guilt spreads. It spreads throughout society, and it even spreads to the society's children. And this happens for us when we refuse to face in to our sin. It spreads. It spreads to the people around us, to our friends, family, roommates, spouses. It can also spread generationally into our children. But thank God, that's not where Jesus leaves us. There's a better washing than the self-washing of self-righteousness and blame-shifting. And Jesus teaches us about this washing in John chapter 13. Here, Jesus and his disciples are sitting down for the Last Supper. And they're partaking of their Passover Seder meal. And Jesus gets up. He rose
from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said, the one who's washed, the one who's bathed, he does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. He's talking about Judas, of course. Later, Jesus says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. In our first passage, we see the effect and the fruit of self-washing, of self-righteousness. And here in this passage, we see the effect of Christ's washing. Christ, in this moment, he gets up from the table and he ties this towel around his waist. And I don't really understand. If I were personally washing feet, I would definitely have that towel in my hand and get it out there as far away from me as I could. But Jesus, in this moment, he takes the disciples' foot dirt and he gets it on himself. He takes their sin or their dirt. Dirt is always a metaphor in Scripture for sin, unholiness, unrighteousness. And he gets it on him personally. He says to Peter, you don't really understand this at this moment. But now, in retrospect, we all understand. This is pointing to where Jesus takes on himself the sin of the world on the cross, where he takes each of our shortcomings so personally that he dies to make up the difference for where we failed in life. Peter, when Jesus comes to him, he also says, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. And I understand this. Like, when I've been far from God or have experienced times in my life of distance or dryness, the last thing I want to do is bring that to Jesus. I want to get it clean myself. I want to make it right myself. And as good New Yorkers, we try to do this all the time. We think that we can work our way out of a shortcoming, or we can educate our way out, or we can read our way out, or work our way out, or get the new clothes on and look our way out, or exercise our way out. But Jesus says to Peter, if you try that way, you have no share in me. You've got parts of your life that only I can deal with. And the good news is that Jesus is coming to us. He's coming after us, not with a stick, not angry at us, but he's coming to us with a towel wrapped around his waist. He's coming after us, ready to take responsibility, ready to take the hit for our shortcomings. It's something that we never experience in life, except through Jesus Christ, where he offers us forgiveness. He offers us a brand new start. He offers us to be made clean and washed and made right. The rest of the world says, if you fail, it's on you. And in fact, we're going to even blame you for stuff you didn't do because everybody's trying the self-washing technique. But Jesus says, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to get into those parts of your life that you would never even want to mention to your friends or family or counselors. I know about them. I'm not scared of them. I'm going to get down there with you and wash your feet. When we've been washed by Jesus, he also says, after I've washed you, now you can go and wash others. When we've experienced the washing of Christ, not just the self-righteous washing, it allows us, it frees us up in our identity to start to wash others. I know when I'm living my best, when I'm walking in the identity of Jesus, I'm able to take responsibility and take authority over situations that I had nothing to do with. This is oftentimes plays out with my kids when they're stressed out, anxious, we're trying to get out the door, they're stressed, we're stressed as parents. And we want nothing but for them to get out the door, get their shoes on and get out. It's easy in that moment to blame them, to put the full weight of their responsibility on them. But again, when I'm living my best,
what God calls me to do is get down with them, to hug them, to take the anxiety and the fear off of them and onto me, and then I bring it to Jesus. I pray for them in that moment. I pull the anxiety, the fear, the shame of that moment out of the room. I take it upon myself. I wash their feet, so to speak, the way that Jesus did for his disciples. As we go into a time of taking communion, some of us are like Pilate. We've been blaming others for all of the events in our lives. We've been saying, I'm clean in this matter. What does this have to do with me? And we keep falling in to the same patterns of sin, of shame, of being far from God, of broken relationships. God is calling us to face into those moments. Others of us are like Peter. We've worked and strived so hard to fight our way out, to dig our way out ourselves, to prove to God and to the world that we don't need any help. Humility is so much better than striving. When we give up and let God take our sin and our shame, when we let Jesus make up the difference, it frees us. It makes us clean. It brings us more security than all of our striving ever could. And so in this time, let's go to Jesus. Let's go to the one who wants to wash us clean. Let's go to the one who wants to make us right. Wherever you're coming from, some of us have, during this crisis and being quarantined and locked in our homes, some of us have really excelled. We've gotten closer to Jesus. We've gotten closer to our friends and family through this time. Others, this has wiped us out. It's laid us flat on our back. We've been locked in with the worst parts of ourselves and the worst parts of our family. Each and every one of us, we need Jesus in this moment. We need more of him. There's more that we can lay on his feet, or there's more that we can lay at his feet. There's more sin. There's more shame. There's more remembrance. There's more honor and worship of him. Because the more we get clean, the more confidence we can walk in. The more we can bring healing to the places where we are. And New York City right now needs healing. It needs people who can rise up and make a difference. People who can take responsibility for things that they didn't cause or create. New York City needs people empowered by Jesus Christ, with towels wrapped around their waist, washing feet, bringing forgiveness, bringing healing. This city is going to erupt in a number of months with love, with meetings, with joy, and we want to be there with the sorrow as well and the sin and all of the things that have been experienced behind closed doors. We want to be right in the mix of all of that, with towels wrapped around our waist, like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's prepare our hearts, prepare our tables, and get ready.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.